Well, I wonder how many of you are a bit like me, where you've promised yourselves you're going to eat more healthily, get more exercise, take up a new hobby, and then the lure of Greg's has just been too tempting. The new trainers are sitting in the cupboard looking, well, brand new. And the new, I don't know, fishing rod, yoga mat, knitting needles, teach yourself Japanese book, whatever it is just sitting there staring at you. Maybe a bit like the exercise bike that becomes a very good clothes horse. And all the good intentions have gone out the window. Or maybe you've thought to yourself, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to shake off these negative thoughts. I'm going to stop making the same bad choices over and over and over again. I'm not going to let anything hold me down or hold me back. And by lunchtime, it's all gone pear-shaped again. Well, what about our faith? Maybe you've had a wonderful experience of God and felt really close to him. And it's been amazing, and then it's gone. And you've come back down to earth with a bump. Or you've thought to yourself, oh, I'm going to read the Bible every day, I'm going to pray for an hour every morning, and then, perhaps unsurprisingly, that hasn't lasted either. As we think about a baptism today and that beginning of a journey of faith, how do we keep going and keep growing in our faith? The truth is, if you've ever sort of felt like that, that you just can't seem to keep it up and you just don't feel quite good enough, well then firstly, you're not on your own. And secondly, I've got some good news for you. There is a mind-blowingly simple way to keep going and keep growing in our faith. And it's just this. Abide in me. Abide in me. Now, the passage we had read used the word remain, remain in me. But I like this word, abide in me. And I'll explain in a moment why that is. Baptism is this amazing step in our journey of faith. It's something to really celebrate. And if we're baptized as adults and we're actually aware of what's going on, it can often be a really life-changing moment when we make those promises ourselves. I turn to Christ, I repent of my sins, I renounce evil. There's that amazing sense of turning over a new leaf and that closeness to God. But then what? The Ethiopian eunuch that we heard in the reading, the first reading, had the most amazing experience. God sort of sets up this divine appointment between him and the disciple Philip, and Philip, if you like, introduces him to Jesus. The eunuch is somebody who kind of has a basic understanding of who the Jewish God is, and he's been to Jerusalem to worship, we read, and he's actually sitting in his chariot, going back home, reading from the Jewish scriptures, our Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, but he doesn't really kind of get it. And then when Philip explains it, when he explains how Jesus is this lamb who was given as a sacrifice for us, for all of us, for all our sins, and how Jesus had conquered death and risen to life again, the eunuch is all in. And they see some water, and he's like, I want to be baptized. And he is baptized. What an amazing moment. And then when Philip is gone, it said the Ethiopian eunuch went away rejoicing. But I can't help wondering what happened next for him. He's like the equivalent of the Chancellor of the Exchequer, his role. And now, what would it have been like for him back in Ethiopia, Monday morning, he walks into the office and people start telling him they didn't think much of his budget. You know, it's a bit of a downer, isn't it? I bet he came back down to earth with a bit of a bump after his amazing experience with Philip. But I wonder if before he was whisked away by the Spirit, Philip was able to share the advice that he'd heard from Jesus. Abide in me. And we all need to hear that, don't we, sometimes? Be reminded of it throughout our journey of faith, whether we're right at the beginning or whether we've been round the block a few times with this faith Abide in me is how we're going to keep going and keep growing. Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches, abide in me. But what on earth does he mean by abide in me? It's more than just living with, abiding with Jesus. We're to abide in him. And I think the image of the vine that Jesus uses is really helpful there to understand what he means by abiding in. It means having a kind of living connection with Jesus, like a branch has a living connection with the rest of the vine. It means having the life of Jesus running through us, filling us like the sap that flows through the vine and into the branches. And the reason I like this word abide more than remain, remain feels a little bit impersonal. Abide feels like a living word, a being word. It's an invitation to find our soul's shelter and home, our rest, our place of belonging in Jesus. In Jesus, we're sort of held and kept. Abide in me. And actually, this isn't something that we can bring about by our own sort of sheer effort and will and striving. It's the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Holy Trinity, who connects us as branches to Jesus, the vine. Because the branches are quite passive, really. The gardener prunes them and cleans the dead wood, and the sap flows through them, and the fruit grows. The branches don't sort of strain to be a really good branch, to be the best branch they can be and produce the fruit. But a branch that is pruned well, remains connected to the vine, will bear fruit because that's what happens. And Jesus says there are two things that we need to do as we abide in him, and two things we'll see as a result. And the first thing that we need to do is, as we abide in Jesus, we need to abide in his word, he says. Now, I said this wasn't about striving and straining, so I'm not saying to see how many verses in the Bible you can read before breakfast or how many hours you can spend reading the Bible, and then we beat ourselves up when we fall short of our target. Abide in me, abide in my word. Kind of savour it. Sit with it, reflect on it, maybe only just one or two short verses. I mean, I'd be made up if you decide, yeah, I'm going to really read all the Bible. I'd be even happier if you read just a verse a day, but it makes a difference in your life because you abide with it and you let it abide in you. So you might read it and say, well, what's this telling me about God? What's it telling me about myself? Is it asking me to do anything in response? How does this change how I see myself or God or other people? And then come back to it later on when you're driving to work, when you're at the school gate, when you're in the checkout, at the end of the day. Did those words kind of stay with you? Did they influence how you reacted to people or what you did? Abide with the words. Let them abide in you. Notice if anything happens when you do that. Who knows? You might enjoy it and think, I'll read some more. I do think one of the things that happens is that we pray differently. Jesus says these amazing words. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That sounds pretty amazing. But that becomes true, I think, because the process of abiding changes and influences what we actually ask for. Because our thoughts and our desires become more aligned with the one we're abiding in. We're abiding with Jesus. And then, as well as let my words abide in you, the other thing we have to do is allow ourselves to be pruned. As branches, we might not have an active role in the pruning, but we can certainly be a bit resistant to it sometimes. What do I mean by pruning? Well, these are the times when maybe we feel God is just challenging us about something, maybe an attitude or a pattern of behavior. Or maybe it's the times when we've asked really good prayers and they just seem to go unanswered. Or they're not answered how we want them, when we want them. And we find ourselves having to learn about patience and perseverance and what it means to really trust God. And those, there are lots of ways that God prunes a bit here and a bit there, but it's always for our benefit, so that our connection to him, our abiding in him, becomes deeper and richer. So two things we need to do: to abide in his word and submit to his pruning, and then two things will happen. His fruit grows in our lives. And St. Paul describes the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that's that life-giving sap that flows through us when we're remaining in the vine. He listed them as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And some of them sound great. We all would love some peace, wouldn't we? Some peace of mind, some peace of heart, and joy. Some of the others, like patience and self-control, we can understand why a bit of pruning might be needed for those fruit to grow. Jesus said when we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit. So I don't think that list is intended to be exhaustive. And we could think of lots of other things that God might want to grow in our lives, like generosity, courage, a passion for justice, hospitality and welcome, compassion for other people. There's lots of things that those fruit could be. And then when those fruit start to grow, the other outcome, the other result, is that we show ourselves to be his disciples. When those fruit start to grow, it brings glory to God because we're reflecting more of what God is like. We show ourselves to be his disciples, his followers, or we should perhaps say abiders. And this fruit is the evidence that we're indeed abiding in Jesus and in his word and letting his spirit prune us. We're not disciples because we're straining and striving to do as much good as we can do and be so, so good and holy. We're disciples because we know we'll fail at that most of the time, but we're just abiding in Jesus, abiding in his word and allowing his Holy Spirit to work in us. That's how we'll keep going and keep growing into the people that God calls us to be. Through all of life's experiences, the highs and the lows, the wonderful experiences, the mundane everyday life experiences. And for people like Abarama and Freddie, and for all of us, when they were baptized, we said they join the community of faith. It's like they have been joined onto a vine that has lots of branches, sitting here in church today. We're all branches together of the same vine. And so we're not alone in this. We have each other to support us and to keep us going as we all seek to try and abide in Jesus. We can encourage one another to keep going and to keep growing in our faith. So I hope that today is not the end, but it's the start of a process for Abarama and Freddie and for their families and friends as they begin to know what it is to go through life knowing Jesus, abiding in him, and growing in their faith. Amen.